Let us turn in God's Word to the Epistle to the Colossians, the chapter 4, and the verses 7 down to verse 9. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Especially I should like you to highlight what is said concerning the mission of Tychicus in the verse 8, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Tychicus and his mission of comfort. Before I say anything on that, I just want to comment on this final section to Paul's epistle on the mystery of Christ. The doctrine and the teaching part of the letter is to a large extent now ended and complete. And what we have here in the remainder of the chapter is personal greetings and salutations. And the thing that really stands out about this portion is the large number of names that it contains. Counting Paul's name at the very end, there are 12 names. These names show us this book is authentic, that it came out of a real historical situation. They remind us, in fact, that this little book is really a letter. A letter from Paul to the Colossian church. We are seeing some of Paul's friends, some of his fellow workers. We're seeing the people in his life, in actual fact. We're seeing his followers. One very close acquaintance is omitted. His brother in the Lord and his son in the faith, Timothy. We know that Timothy is also present. He's not mentioned at the end, however. He was mentioned at the start. He was mentioned in the very opening salutation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So we have Timothy here at the start. There are names at the start of the epistle. There are names at the end of the epistle. The very first name is Paul's. The very last name is Paul's. Paul's name encloses the epistle. His name brackets it and folds it because, you see, it is his epistle. But he is reminding us in these brackets that he is not a man on his own. He is part of a body. He is in close contact and fellowship with some parts of that body, and he names those parts, some at the start, some at the end. The wonderful thing is, they are all partakers of this mystery of Christ with him. They're all Christians. They're all fellow laborers, brethren. They all have one faith and participate in the common salvation. And Paul loved them and was a spiritual father to them, and he wants under inspiration to tell us about them. Some of these people probably said to him, "Now, Paul, when you're writing to the Colossians, send my greetings, send my salutations." And so he gladly and willingly does this. So he has brethren with him. The first two names are contained in our text today. Tychicus and Onesimus. He calls Tychicus a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. And he calls Onesimus a faithful and beloved brother. So he loves both these men. He reckons both these men are faithful, and he recommends them to the church at Colossae. These are the two men he is sending to them. They are Paul's ambassadors. So they're not just, as it were, giving their greetings and their salutations as others are in this chapter. They're actually the ones who are going to go to Colossae. And of course they'll bring their own greetings and their own salutation at that time. So Paul does not send salutations on their behalf because they are going to be the couriers of this letter. The letter is going to be hand delivered by these men. It is not the only letter they're carrying. They will be taking other letters with them. Going to Colossae is a fairly major journey, and they will pass through places where there are other congregations, and no doubt they bear other messages and tidings to give along the way to the various Christians that they pass by. We cannot know the way that they travel for sure, how much was on land, how much on sea. One likely route would have brought them to the port of Ephesus. And we know that Tychicus carries that letter as well, the letter to the Ephesians. Laodicea is beside Colossae. We know that it also receives a letter. Verse 16, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. As well as that, there is the epistle to the Philemon. To Philemon. We know that was also carried at this time by these men. These are the letters we know about, and probably there were others that we don't know about. But these two men are not just letter carriers. They are men with knowledge, especially Tychicus. They are sent to convey that knowledge to Colossae. Verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. And so you can see there is an emphasis in the text on the conveying of knowledge. These men are traders in knowledge. You know, people travel to trade, to bring goods, to buy goods. These men are carrying letters. As well as that, they're carrying knowledge. The knowledge of the work of God, the knowledge of Paul's condition and state, the knowledge of the things of the Lord, the knowledge of the Word, the knowledge of all of Paul's preaching and teaching. So they're traveling, not to materially benefit themselves or others, but they are traveling to edify the saints, to encourage the church, to build up believers, and to strengthen them in the faith. Now, in this matter, of course, Tychicus is clearly the main man. He is a minister. He is a faithful minister. Onesimus is just faithful. A faithful and beloved brother. He's a believer. He's a saint. He's a slave to Philemon. And his calling is different. He is going back as a returning slave of Philemon. And he's named second. The mission really is headed by Tychicus. And so Tychicus will relate Paul's condition. And he will give a report on the apostle and on the work of God that is taking place under his leadership and guidance. And Onesimus, he'll also be a witness about all of this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And so Onesimus is here as well, and he along with Tychicus will give his amen to all these things, and he also will make known unto them those things which are being done at Rome. That would have been an interesting report, to hear the report of these two men about Paul's mission and ministry, what he's doing, the battles he's fighting, the church problems that are coming to him daily. It just would be exciting to eavesdrop on this and to get an insight into Paul's work, even from the prison in which he presently finds himself when this epistle was penned, to get a first-hand description of Pauline labours and Pauline contacts would have been a most interesting report indeed. But they're not only telling things from Paul's side. They're not only relating the things that are done here at Rome, but they also have a mission on the Colossae side about their state and their condition. They want to know about the state of the Colossians in verse 8. And so, on the one hand, they're being sent to report the state of things in Rome. But on the other hand, they're also going to Colossae that, in verse 8, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So they're commissioned to know, to find out the condition of the Colossians. And commissioned thus, it is their business to then comfort them and to edify them and to build them up in the faith. So they are commissioned to know in order to do one thing, to comfort them, to comfort their hearts. And especially Tychicus is commissioned to this business because he's the preacher, he is the minister of the gospel. And I think this is really the heart of the mission of Tychicus. To know the estate of the Colossians and to comfort their hearts. Now, we have studied this epistle together, and it has been, I trust, a comforting epistle. And Paul has comforted the Colossians with his words, and this letter is going for the purpose of comforting them. Now, that has been one of the aims of this epistle, to comfort. You see that in chapter 2 and the verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." There's a great burden on Paul's heart about these congregations. Whatever he has heard, whatever he presently knows as he writes about their estate, it is of concern to him. He's never been to Colossae. Most of the people have not seen his face, but he has heard by report. And this letter is written to comfort them, because he adds there that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and on to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So you see, he's burdened, and his purpose and the purpose of this epistle is that their hearts might be comforted through the gospel, through the knowledge of Christ, through the things of God. But he's also sending out an able ambassador, Tychicus, to discover their up-to-date estate. You know, things, it takes a long time to travel there. Things can change even in that time span. And so, while he brings the letter, he also sends a man to bring the comfort up to date, to minister and pastor to them. The Colossian letter is timeless in the comfort that it ministers to the Church of Jesus Christ in all ages. But still, every church needs a pastor. Every church needs accompanying the epistles and the word of God. Every church needs a pastoral ministry that is present, that is appropriate, that is pointed, and that is in that situation, living amongst the people and up to date. And so Paul lovingly sends them the scriptures, the most important thing of all, but he accompanies that scripture with a pastor, Tychicus. "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord." Paul the apostle is sending this, his ambassador, and his duty and mission is to just know the condition of the church and to preach the word of God to them, to the comfort of their hearts. So this is Paul's desire. As I said, this is why he wrote the letter. This is why he sent the man. This is Paul's hearty wish. And whenever he says here, I send, whom I have sent, what he is meaning is, I, the Apostle Paul, sent him. How did he begin his epistle? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's not just saying the church sends him. He says, I sent him. He doesn't say, we sent him. He says, I sent him. Paul sending a minister, I remind you, is not like anybody else sending one. It is an apostle sending him. It is like Tychicus is coming right from Christ himself. And this is how Colossae was to view this. How they should view this. The Apostle Paul has sent him. Christ's man has sent us this man. That's what they would say. We must receive him as we would receive Paul himself. Yeah, we must receive him as though Christ sent him himself. And the truth is, Christ did send him. Whenever Paul sent him. And what does he come to do? To know their estate and to comfort their hearts. What's your state today? What's the state of your heart today? What's the state of your life today? Where do you stand with God? Where do you stand in the things of the Lord? What's your state today as a church, as a congregation? These are important questions. We should always be checking our state, checking our condition, taking our spiritual temperature. It's important to know your condition. And the pastor here, Tychicus, is sent to know the condition of the church at Colossae and to give the appropriate words to comfort their hearts. So there you have it. That is pastoral ministry defined. That is what the Savior himself does as the great shepherd. He knows the estate of his people. And he correspondingly comforts their hearts. You study those seven epistles to the churches in Asia Minor in the book of the Revelation. The Lord Jesus wrote those as the pastor of those congregations. He wrote those letters. He knew their estate. He really did know their condition. He told them so. He knew their hearts. And his word was comforting. Now, I know it had rebukes. I know it had some strong sayings. I know that it would have humbled many of the churches. They would all have to admit in their own hearts it was a comforting word. It was the right word. And it was the word that brought us to the place of comfort. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, he does this. He knows his flock and he knows how to give them the right word. The comfort of the hearts of the saints is the main thing in the pastoral ministry of Tychicus. The comfort of the hearts of the saints is major. It's major because it is a big thing with the Lord himself. It's a big thing to the Lord because the Lord is the comforter. And he wants his under-shepherds to be comforters too. And Paul sends Tychicus out with the very clear definition of his ministry that he is to carry out among them. Now, a comforter is one who comes along beside and brings appropriate counsel and gives that needed word in season. And of course the pastor is the one who does that week by week in the word of God. He comes along beside his flock, knowing something of their condition and their estate, and he brings to them the word. God's people need this. The Colossian church needs this. We, the people of God, need this all the time, don't we? Our hearts need it. That's what the text says. Your hearts. Often everything looks fine without, doesn't it? You know, God's people can put on a smile. They can have the appearance of being joyful. But really, our hearts are always needy. Our hearts are always needing strengthened and upheld. And sometimes we don't seem to have the joy down there in our hearts. You can see Paul doesn't think that they have no need of comfort. He doesn't assume that they are saturated with it and full of it. He knows believers. He knows that saints need it. He knows this because he knows God's people. He knows his own heart. Paul is a man of like passions as ourselves. And he knows that Colossae hearts will need comforted because he knows his own heart needs comforted. He also knows his Bible. He knows what the Bible says about the human heart and about the saint's heart. It's just a fact. God's people need comfort in their hearts all the time. And that's why God gives them pastoral ministry. That's why pastoral ministry is so important. That's why God raises up pastors and teachers. It is for the heart comfort of the flock. God knows that you war all the time. And all believers know that we have battles all the time. Every one of us. We battle with the world. We battle with Satan. We battle with our own flesh. With our own fears. With our own doubts. We strive against doubts and unbelief. You're no different. Every child of God is the same. There are clouds that sometimes come between them and the Lord. There are spiritual battles and conflicts that they never seem to cease. Sometimes the child of God seems to get so little from his Bible. And they wonder what is wrong with them. And where the Lord is. And they get discouraged. And their hearts become uneasy. Sometimes maybe prayer is hard. And it often is hard. All God's people battle with the matter of prayer. We can become cold and formal in prayer. We can become lifeless. And sometimes God's people feel that heaven is like brass. And they feel that their prayer life has become more ritualistic. They wonder what is wrong. Maybe the Lord hides his face for a season to humble us and to teach us new things in our walk with him. It's not easy. There's a battle. There are doubts. There are fears. Or maybe God's people sin. Or they see things in their hearts. And they're grieved. And they think the Lord has forgotten them. For their unworthiness that they feel. And that he must have departed and gone and could never ever, as it were, come and let his countenance shine upon us because of our great unworthiness. You need comforted. All these cares and concerns about your spiritual life that we all face. The fear to sometimes, maybe to the opportunity to say a word and you let it pass because of fear. And it's gone. And you're discouraged and you're disheartened and you've let the Lord down. And you need comforted in your hearts. The Lord doesn't hate you. The Lord doesn't turn against you because of your failures and faults, because of your weaknesses and infirmities. We sometimes just need to be reminded about the Lord's love and His marvelous grace. And this must come through pastoral ministry, through men like Tychicus telling us, comforting your hearts. Paul knows this. More importantly, the Lord knows this. He especially knows fully and infallibly the condition of your heart and all the fears and doubts and all that goes on there. And He knows you need comforting. Not only are these spiritual trials and conflicts that only the people of God know anything about, there are also the providential trials without. These, of course, sometimes add to our spiritual conflicts. Even sometimes they intensify them. They may even bring the spiritual conflicts on in some respects. We have our hurts and losses. The body decays and it gets ill and sick, and our sickness and illnesses affect our mind and our feelings. We have bodily ailments. We have work problems, family problems perhaps, opposition and persecution, disappointments. So many things in providence that try us, that flood into our lives and seem to flood into our very hearts and distress us. But the Lord gives to His people comforters. What I'm saying is, child of God, the Lord knows your estate. He knows how trying it is. He knows how sharp and harsh that trial is in your life, that affliction. He knows how dark it is. Maybe you have a lonely estate as well as a low estate. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows your trying estate. Whatever it is, the best of all, He cares. And He raises up for you comforters. That's the thing. He gives you this epistle. He gives you His word. He gives you, along with the word, carrying the word, bringing the word to you, a Tychicus, ministers and pastors and teachers, or maybe Christian friends, who know how to give a word in season to the weary. This is the mission of Tychicus. This is the mission of Paul, who sends him. And it is their mission, because it is the mission and the office of their great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember that Christ bears the name of Comforter. That's what He was when He was among His apostles. He was their Comforter. All the time He was doing this. He was so great, good and gracious to them, always bringing to them that appropriate word. You remember the upper room especially. All of that, as we know, under the dark cloud of the approaching cross that Christ was soon to be nailed to. But He comforts them Himself. He comforts them with His word and His promises. And He promises them another comforter in His absence. The Lord Jesus is sworn not to leave His people comfortless. Let not your heart be troubled. You trust in the Lord. You trust in God. Trust in Me also. Don't be troubled. He's concerned about their hearts. He's comforting their hearts. And He gives them a discourse. He speaks to them. He publicly prays for them. He lets them hear Him pray for them to the comfort of their hearts. Peace I leave with you, he says. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you see how he speaks to their heart? Let not your heart be troubled. And Paul says to Tychicus, Tychicus, you comfort the hearts of the believers. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. The Lord has promised he won't do it. He is the comforter, and now he's gone to heaven and is at the right hand of God, but he has sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has the office of comforter. And the Holy Spirit raises up pastors and teachers, and they also carry out that mission as well. So this is the mission of the Holy Spirit, to comfort their hearts. God is declared in the Bible the God of all comfort. The one who desires it for his people. The one who ordains it and who ordains the means to it, giving them the scriptures, raising up pastors and teachers, raising up his ambassadors to bring it, to bring that comfort. He is the God who says to his preachers, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Tychicus is not alone in this business. This isn't some unusual, utterly rare mission. No, this isn't a rarity. This is universal. This is the mission of all ministers. This is the mission of all preachers. To through the word bring comfort. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself said to us in the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to tell about the liberty to the prisoners, to tell them about their prison house, that the chains have been broken and the doors have been opened, to comfort them with the gospel, to assure them of everlasting life and the forgiveness of sins, to preach, as it is in the words of Scripture, the acceptable year of the Lord. A wonderful message indeed. And to comfort all that mourn, even those that mourn in Zion, who have ashes and have torn their garments and are in grief for the humility that they feel at the sense of their sinfulness, to give to them the oil of joy and the garment of praise, that the Lord may be magnified and glorified. That was the mission of Christ, to comfort them in their hearts. And whenever Paul went to churches, that was his mission too, to the Thessalonians. He says, you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. We did it in a very special way, he could tell them. We did it as a father does his children. Remember how he said to them also, I've sent Timothy, our brother and minister and our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And that's what the ministry of the God's word is about every week, isn't it, congregation? To comfort you concerning your faith. You don't get much of it at work. You don't get much of it during the week. but you just love to get out to God's house to get it there. You know, of course, that the Colossians must allow themselves to be comforted. They must recognize, Paul and Tychicus, that they are on God's mission. They have to see this, the Colossians. They have to see them as God's instruments. And they have to receive the word that they bring as the word of God. They must believingly receive their word. What I'm saying is, in order to be comforted, they not only have to have comforters, but they themselves have to have faith in their hearts to receive that comfort. You have to let this comfort in. You have to open your hearts to it. And you have to open your heart to the one who brings it. Because it's all connected. You can't have a closed heart to the preacher and expect to benefit from his ministry. It's sad if people get into that condition where they abhor and turn against their minister and think that somehow they shall receive comfort from his ministry. It doesn't work that way. You have to have a heart open to the Lord. You have to have a heart open to his servant. And you have to have a heart open to the word that he brings. You have to have a gracious meekness to receive the word. And especially faith. You must have faith. You must, by these means, allow yourselves to be comforted. It is the lack of faith that largely is the reason why we have so little comfort. You must believe God's word. You must receive the teaching and the instruction and the counsel of the word of God and of the ministry that brings that word. You must believe that Jesus Christ is truly the great shepherd. And he has the intent to comfort you through his under-shepherds. You therefore must heed their word and receive their comfort. And when they tell you of the grace of the Lord Jesus, believe it. Embrace it. When they tell you of the forgiveness of your sins through that grace, believe it. Receive that comfort. When they, as it were, open and expound the promises of God and apply them to you, believe and receive the comfort that they bring to you. And so pray. Pray that your minister may truly have a comforting ministry. Pray also that the Lord will come to you and enable you to receive that comfort and allow you by his Holy Spirit to experience it in your hearts through the word. The psalmist prayed for comfort. When wilt thou comfort me, he said. He was looking at it from God. He knows God gives the means and he has the under shepherds to convey it, but he knows that ultimately it comes from God. And so he prays to God. He uses the means. He looks to the use of the means, but he's praying to God. Lord, when will you comfort me? But he also knows from whence that comfort comes. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? And so you must know this, child of God. You must attend the word. It is through the word that comfort comes. Can we ever see ourselves saying, mine eyes fail for thy word? Lord, I can't wait to get out of thy house on the Lord's day. Lord, I can't wait to get out into the midweek meeting. My eyes are failing for thy word. I've a hunger for thy word. Can't wait to get under thy word. Are we like that? And so therefore you must attend the ministry of the word with expectation and with faith. And say every week, Lord, I am waiting for a word from thee. Through thy servant, through the Tychicus that thou hast sent on to us, or whoever that minister might be. Christian, the Lord knows your estate. And he has his Tychicus there to edify you and encourage you through the word. May it be so. May this church be such a church where this comfort is our weekly experience, to the glory of our great and marvelously good shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be all glory. Amen.